Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Let me set the situation for you. Failed marriage, failed business. You know, this is something that many people around the world are facing or have faced today. The current situation with the forced shutdowns and lockdowns and isolation, it just exasperates the problems that really been lingering under the surface. And now they are rearing their ugly heads. You know, financial problems, statistically wise, financial problems are often the major cause of marital problems. And with this COVID situation all across the world, no businesses open means no jobs, and no jobs means no income. But yet, the bills seem to arrive like clockwork, and that just leads to further problems in the home. Well, my guest today faced something similar, except it wasn't COVID related. It was well before that time. Mark Holloway's life was spiraling out of control. His business failed. His wife left him. He was angry, and he was angry at God. One day in frustration, he screamed out at God, and then was amazed when God actually spoke back. I think I would be too. Amen. God then led him into a way to have an amazing ongoing conversation with him. And he started to share this method of communicating with God, initially in a blog, and then in a book called The Freedom Diaries, a book that sold thousands of copies all over the world and has helped untold numbers of people. Now, Mark's marriage has been restored, which, by the way, is what God initially told him would happen when he first cried out to God, praise the Lord. But he's now about to publish a new book titled 11 Days. 11 Days is a novel based on a true story, Mark's true story, of how he stumbled on a conversation with God at the worst time in his life, and how that conversation led to restoring his broken marriage and his failed business. It's a story that's taught thousands to have their own back and forth conversations with God. As a result, marriages have been healed, drug habits been busted, families restored, businesses revitalized, and the word of God has been shared around the world. Amen. Help me welcome to the program, all the way from New Zealand, Mark Holloway. Mark, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bob. Appreciate it.
Amen. Now, the first question that I always ask is this. Other than that brief bit of information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Mark Holloway?
Well, man, that was some introduction, I have to say. I was even starting to like me myself. Okay, so who is Mark Holloway? I'm a father of five kids. They're all adults. Married to a fantastic woman, Miriam. As you sort of intimated there in the bio, we've had our issues. I hate to admit this, but according to God, most of those were instigated by me rather than her, which was sort of part of my journey learning all that. I own a business in New Zealand, and we provide expert advice around marketing and sales coaching and sales training to mid-sized businesses. And I ended up, as you have explained, writing a Christian book. And I have to say, I'm a pretty cynical sort of Christian. So I always wanted to write a book, Bob, but I kind of thought it would be something like, I rode my Harley around the world and made $1 million. I'm a Christian. And yet I was the guy that wrote the book about how to have a conversation back and forth with God. And I mean, let's face it, even some Christians think that's a bit loopy. Does that give you some kind of indication of who I am?
Amen. Amen. Let's jump straight into your book. I mean, this is a novel, okay? I mean, it's fictional, but it's written around a character named Jack Kincaid. But this is all based on your story, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go at it from your point of view then, and then you can add in additional comments as you like from the book. But I want to set the background for everything that you're sharing. And it all started with what was published as the Freedom Diaries, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And to put it in a nutshell for our conversation, your marriage is in tatters, you're angry, and you cry out to God. Okay, what happens next? And I know before you answer, let me just preface it with this. I know you cried out to God and that you were led to start writing down your questions, but when you initially cried out to God, did God say, get a pen and paper, we're going to talk? I mean, so lead us through that initial time.
Yeah, no, okay. So a little bit of background. In my business, I make myself and also my team always write down what the client says, because that way you've got a better chance of remembering what they asked for and delivering what they need. So here's what happened. There's a famous World War I general. I can't think of his name, but his quote that I really like is, there are no atheists in the trenches.
Yeah, amen.
And so the fact that I cried out to God when my marriage went to pieces, I don't think is any commendation of me. Most of us, when we're in a corner, when there's nothing left, we scream out to God, however sanctified we are, you know. So that's what I did. And I just knew that God had spoken back, and I knew that he had said two clear things. It shocked me. It wasn't a kind of praise the Lord moment. It was like a really? And those two things were, you did this. You know, my wife had left me. She just announced she was going. You know, we were a Christian couple. We'd run camps for kids. You know, we tried to be. When I say we were a good Christian couple, sometimes we were, sometimes we weren't. She always was. But, you know, and this is quite typical, I think, in Christian families. The husband tends to kind of lead the family in and out of, you know. But anyway, so God turns up and to my amazement, and I tried to refute it, but I just knew, you know how sometimes if God says something, you don't want to hear it. It's not a praise the Lord moment. It's like, no, that can't be God, but you just can't refute it. He said two things, you did this and she'll be back. And I, you know, it was nice to hear that she'll be back, but I didn't believe it. As I said, I'm pretty cynical. So. why did I tell you about writing stuff down in my business? Well, I got out the book that I wrote down stuff that clients said, and I wrote those two things down because here's why I wrote them down. I thought maybe the emotional pressure of this moment is making me go mad, and here I am conjuring up God's voice. Surely he didn't say those things. So it was kind of like I was diarizing. So because I thought I'm going to go to a counselor to make sure that I don't go mad. That's the last thing I or my kids or anybody else. This is a terrible moment. Let's not make it even worse.
Yeah.
So I started writing down the things that I thought God said. You know, I did that for about 5 months into our separation. Our separation lasted 5 years, by the way. But here's God telling me all the time, I think, that she'll be back. Well, you know, I write for a living, Bob. But what I mean by that is one of my jobs is an advertising copywriter. So I never used to write books. I just write marketing copy. So I would be asking, you know, is she coming back? You didn't. So this is just normal traditional prayer. You know, you said she's coming back. She hasn't come back. Like most men, I assumed that if God said she was coming back, she'd be back in a day or two, you know?
Yeah, knocking at the door.
Yeah, well, you know, as months went by, it was clear to me that I was definitely not hearing God. I must be making this up, you know. So I began to, I don't know how it first happened, but I started writing down some, oh, yes, I do. I went to a Christian camp, and The people there said, you know, you can write your questions to God and then write out his answers, you know. And to me, that sounded like heresy. I thought, you're kidding me. You know, that's sort of like, that's like manufacturing the words of God or something, you know. But they pointed out that, well, all through the Bible, you know, God was instructing people to write stuff down as he spoke to them. You know, otherwise, he wouldn't even have a Bible.
Yeah. That's true.
And I'm not suggesting for a moment that when I have a conversation with God that it's equal to the Bible. This is just a personal thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Rather than hearing it just in my spirit, I'm writing down what I hear in my spirit. So I began to try and do that. And to my amazement, it felt like I was having a conversation with God. Well, of course, I'd never had that before, and I was very concerned about that.
Let me just interject there here now. Please. So you were at a Christian camp when that idea came to just write your questions down for God. How long did it take before you realized that this is how God was going to answer me?
Well, that day, really, because I wrote my, and so of course, what do you think my first question was? Is my wife coming back? You know, I thought, you know, here we go. Right now, I really test to see whether this works or not. Now, I suppose the way I knew it was this. So these guys are saying to me, write down your questions and write God's answer back. And I thought, these guys are totally loopy. This is heresy. But like a lot of your listeners, I've experienced the prophetic gift and seen it in operation. And you know how you can kind of sense when God turns up, you know? For me, I start crying and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But people are different. So I thought, I'm going to test this to prove these guys wrong, you know. So I wrote my questions down and I started writing, as they told me, to expect God to give you the words as you write. Sounded like heresy to me. And I began to write. Well, I couldn't believe it. I looked at these guys and thought, how did they know this? I could just feel God like you can when somebody prophesies over you or you hear God speak or, you know. Now, if I can just interject myself, by the way, Bob, just interrupt me when you want, but if I can just interject myself there, a couple of people have asked me over the years since this happened, is this like automatic writing? Now, apparently automatic writing is a thing that Satanists and occultish people, et cetera, and the demonic principle gets hold of the pen and it kind of does the writing, you know? Well, my answer is, number one, is no, it isn't. But if I can just give you some background to that, everything that we experience with God, the enemy has a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So prayer, you know, Satanists pray too.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean praying to God is wrong? Of course not, you know. It just means that there's a counterfeit of all the things. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
That's true, though. That's true, yeah.
So have I given you a kind of introduction there, or have I lost myself?
So you started to write down the answers, and what did you find?
I found a number of things. That it certainly felt like God, but it didn't sound like God. Now, what I mean by that is this. It's a little bit like when you read the Gospels and you can see that the people listening to Jesus, it felt like God, but they were aghast because it didn't sound like what they'd been taught that right. God would say. And the basic premise that they had was that God is angry with us. And here's God. Well, here's this man who is saying he is God, who's doing everything but acting like he's angry with them.
Yeah.
I suppose the spirit of religion that was alive for the Pharisees was alive and kicking in me. I was convinced that God was angry with me, and there's plenty. And as I looked at my life, well, there's plenty for him to be angry about, that's for sure. But the God that I was having these conversations with was incredibly forgiving. And yes, you caused this, and yes, there's a lot of work that you need to do on yourself, but I'm not angry with you, you know. Just come here and sit on my knee and we'll talk this through. The first thing I want you to know is that I like you.
Amen.
Now, all of that is obviously scriptural, but it's one thing to know that it's scriptural. It's another to experience it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say, Bob, I was still, as I said before, I was cynical. So I'm always kind of like, really? Can this really be God? Only Moses has it talks about the fact that, you know, he's my friend, God says to Moses' antagonist. You know, how can you talk about this like Moses? He's my friend. He talks back and forth with me.
Yeah.
But then I began to discover that as you read the scriptures, God has backwards and forwards conversations with the bad guys just as often as he does with the good guys. You know, like Cain, he says to Cain, before when Cain is contemplating killing his brother, the first murder hasn't happened yet, but Cain's thinking about it. Now, we've got this idea that if we hold sin in our heart, God can't talk to us. Well, Cain was certainly holding sin in his heart right there.
Right, exactly.
And yet him and God are having this backwards and forwards conversation. But crazy, after he's done the deed, God turns up for another conversation. So what that whole, a combination of hearing God, writing down answers, reading the scripture, thinking, man, hang on, maybe I've got this a little bit wrong because God will talk to me whatever my life's like.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. I got to tell you about this book by Mark Holloway, 11 Days. It's an extraordinary new book based upon the Freedom Diaries authored by Mark Holloway, but it's a novel based on a true story, Mark Holloway's own life. I mean, this book is centered around a man named Jack Kincaid, and Jack's a marketing man, loud, opinionated, a man's man. You know, nothing frightens him, but after losing his wife, his family, his business, he's done. He's angry, he cries out and yells at God, but what he hears next frightens him. Because God actually answers. How can that be? How does this happen? So Jack asks another question, and God answers again. This story is so riveting. It's going to keep you on the edge of your seat throughout the entire book. You need to get your copy of 11 Days right now. Right now. Don't wait, because you know the devil will come to try and distract you and make you forget. So do it now. Go down to the show notes and get your copy of 11 Days by Mark Holloway right now.
Well, you know, there are so many people hurting all over the world right now for various reasons. You know, this COVID virus is the big one right now. People losing their jobs, losing loved ones, all that. Would this be a way for them to draw closer to God just by writing their questions down?
Well, what happens? Okay, can I describe the process a little bit there and then answer that question?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So the process I use, now, you know, God can speak to anyone however he wants. This is just how Mark Holloway does it, and it seems to work for people I teach to do this, okay, is that you write your question down, and then you begin to write the answer. You don't wait for the answer to turn up and then write what you heard. You begin to write, and God seems to provide the words. It's a little bit like, are you comfortable? I didn't even ask you this, Bob, but are you comfortable? Are your listeners comfortable with the prophetic gift, that kind of concept?
I am, and I believe my listeners are too, yes.
Okay. So often, you know, like I think of an example. So there's a speaker, a well-known speaker in the church, and he looks over and he says, "Sir, with the blue jacket on, I think you've got a word from God with the lady with the pink dress over in the other corner," you know. And the guy with the blue jacket on kind of looks at the speaker like, "Huh? I have?" But not wanting to embarrass the speaker and hoping that God might do something here, but feeling way out of his depth, the guy in the blue jacket gets up and he starts walking to the lady with the pink dress. And about halfway there, amazing, he's got the word. And somehow human physical action seems to allow the voice of God to flow. You know, for instance, David played the harp and the word of God would flow and the demonic would be pushed back, you know, that was harassing Saul. So anyway, where I'm going with that is this. So I write down my question to God, and then the physical action of beginning to write seems to allow the words of God to flow. Now, this is a thing that the people at this camp taught me, and I just thought they were total heretics, but it just seems to work, okay? What I used to do is I would go, "God, for example, God, what are you saying about my marriage?" And I always admonish people, Bob, to ask the questions that they want to know, not the ones they think they should be asking. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that was how I was going to kind of look at this was when you write the question down, you know, okay, God, why is this happening type of thing? And are you going to write down the answer you want? Or is it, you know, something where, you know, God answers you in your thoughts and that's what you write down? I mean, how
do okay. you? Yep. So into that concept comes, how do I know it's God? Am I making this up? How do you test the spirits? All those sorts of things, you know? So this is what I do. And then I'll tell you how I test the spirits and know it's God and deal with doubt and all that kind of thing. So, you know, God, what are you saying about my marriage? You know? And then I used to do this. I don't do it now, but it just seemed to help. It seems to help with your faith for people when they're starting it. I would write the beginning of the sentence for God. Well, I know that sounds like, what? You're making up. No, that's not what I mean. I mean like this. My question is, God, what are you saying about my marriage? And then I write, Mark, what I'm saying about your marriage is. Now, I know that God didn't say that. I'm sort of framing, I'm setting up the diving board, you know, right. And then I'm going to dive into God's word and hope that the pool that is empty right now is going to be full by the time I hit the canvas. You know? That's the leap of faith, right?
That's right. Amen.
So, Mark, what I'm saying about your marriage is, and then I keep writing. Now, there's a couple of things that happen, okay, quite often, okay. The enemy, now, let's assume for a minute that this really is God that we're talking about here. You can contradict or criticize in a minute, and I'll answer those questions. But let's just this really is God, okay? Well, what's the enemy going to be thinking about this?
No, he's going to try and interject his thoughts.
Absolutely he is, you know, because if you start hearing the voice of Jesus too long, you're going to get dangerous.
Dangerous to him.
Yeah, dangerous to him, dangerous to him, you know. Two things the enemy seems to do, okay? He will say to you, is this really God? Now, tell me when the Bible talks about those, when did that turn up in the Bible? Is this really God?
Yeah, anytime God was speaking, then the devil would come in and try and, make them question their authority or the authority that God said. Yeah.
So, you know, here's Eve, perfect woman. You know, she hasn't sinned. You know, she's no one's been there to taint her or anything. And the devil turns up and says, has God really said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. That was the first thing the devil said in the Bible.
That's right.
You know, and I think we need to know our enemy. You know, that's I think God had that one included in the Bible so we'd get a feeling for, oh, maybe that comes from God, that voice. Sorry, not God, the enemy, that voice. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when you begin to write your answer from God, the enemy will try two things. He'll either say that, has God really said that? And this is what I do in that situation. We're talking about a conversation, right? So in a conversation, if you're having one with a friend and you're not sure about what they say, if they're a really good friend, you'll challenge them, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, go, really? Did you? Honestly?
Yeah. Did you just say? And then
yeah. Okay. And so I write down, you know, so for instance, this is what happened, okay? God, what are you saying about my marriage? Then I wrote down, Mark, what I'm saying about your marriage is, and the next words, I can't remember exact thing now because it's 8 years, 10 years, 9 years ago, but it was something like, I've already told you, Mark, she's coming back, okay? Well, my next question was, God, I think I'm making that up. Okay, so, you know, some people are natural believers in anything good. I'm the natural disbeliever. You know, so God, no, I think I made that up. That's just what I want to hear. Then I would write the answer. No, you're hearing correctly. No, I don't think I am. Now, for me, you know, some of the people that read my letters and my books, it drives them mad that I can take three pages of arguing with God. No, I don't think I heard that. Yes, you did. No, I don't. You know, so that I'm trying to answer here. How I test the spirits. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and keep on asking.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
And then if you look at the Greek, it's actually closer to demand and keep on demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I apply that principle and I go, if I'm going to hear the voice of God, I'm either serious enough about this to ask until I'm sure in my spirit. Okay. Some people, when we're teaching this, say, how long do you have to keep asking, okay? And my answer is, as long as it takes.
Yeah.
Amen. Like it is it important that you hear God's voice, or you just want an answer?
Amen.
You know? And for me, it took 5 years of asking. Wow. No, you know, she's not coming back. Yes, she is. She's not coming back. Yes, she is. You know, on and on and on and on, you know. My friends used to say to me, don't you think God gets sick of this? And so I asked God. I said, God, I'm sorry, but this is a lack of faith, clearly, you know. If this is really you, then I'm asking you thousands of times to confirm what you've already said. Doesn't that annoy you? Now, this is this. Remember I said a minute ago, or quite a few minutes ago, that it felt like God, but it didn't sound like him. Mm-hmm. This is what he seemed to say. I love it when you keep asking that. I thought, how can you love it? It's me disbelieving you. No, I love it because clearly you are actually beginning to believe that I'm speaking to you.
Amen.
And then he reminded me that scripture, is it Hebrews 11, you know, the faith, 11:6 maybe. Those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he, depending on the version, I love the message, it says, and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him, you know? Have I answered your question then?
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Mark Holloway as we're talking about his book, 11 Days. I mean, this is such an interesting discussion, and you really need to get this book. I mean, it is awesome. I've got a copy, and I'm telling you, it holds your attention all the way through. And the best part is, although it's written as a novel, it's based on the true life story that Mark Holloway's own life. Amen. I mean, after losing his wife, his family, his business, he's done. He's angry. He cries out and yells at God. Who hasn't done that? But what he hears next catches his attention because God answers. I mean, folks, this is just a great interview. I'm really enjoying it, and I hope you are as well. But this is just part one of a multi-part interview. Amen. And you need to come back and catch the next episode because we're going to be continuing our discussion. I guarantee that you are going to get something out of this. I mean, it just gets better and better the farther into this we go. Amen. So till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.